Welcome, everybody. Yes. This is SharePoint Dev Weekly.
No. It's not a SharePoint Dev Weekly.
No, it's not. Let's do it one more time. Maybe we'll don't cut this. It is a BMP. Welcome to BMP Weekly, episode 73. What started as a SharePoint Dev Weekly, but then it moved to SharePoint. No, never mind. Let's do it one more time.
Take four.
What was it? Take 93. I can't make the sound. Here we go. Welcome, everybody. This is BMP Weekly, episode 73. It is 3rd of March. I was just educated that it's March, not February, 2020. So, hey, time flies when you're having fun. My name is Sasa Juvonen. I'm a principal program manager from the OneDrive SharePoint platform engineering. And with me as a co-host today is Waldek, like typically. Waldek, who are you?
Hey, everybody. My name is Waldek Mastegas. I am head of product at Rancor. And today we have a guest. Frank, introduce yourself.
Yeah. Welcome, everyone. My name is Frank Ornu. I'm a 55 developer and architect at my own company called Ecos, and I'm based in Montreal, Canada.
Excellent. And calling live from Canada as well, so that's pretty cool. Nowadays, technology is awesome. Okay, let's restart. No, just kidding. Frank, you started your own company. Just a few kind of a background notes. You started your own company, like when did you start that? A few years back?
We go back a few years later. So basically, I start my whole career with SharePoint 10 years ago. And my first my first mission was in the SharePoint field. So yeah, I remember my first mission in 2010. I had to troubleshoot the user profile synchronization service within 2010.
All the things.
Yeah, this was my first.
I have an awesome solution for that one. Whenever I had that request, I always called for Spence Harper.
So actually, at the time, I have no idea what's going on with the user profile. But since then, I moved to the developer area. With SharePoint 2010 and 13, mainly .NET development and then client-side development, mainly using Knuckle.js. Maybe you remember the first PnP starter intranet a few years ago. I made this built with client-side component. Yeah, just proved that it was possible to build a solution like this without using form solutions. Now I'm working mainly with SPFx and all this stuff with Azure and other things to make a beautiful solution, mainly intranet projects, but also document management projects and so on.
Yeah, I think you're one of the persons who've gone through from the on-premises to the cloud and now making,
I didn't touch SharePoint on-premise since 4 years, I guess.
Yeah.
Three, four years. So it's been a long time.
Yeah, but it's interesting to think about the transition, and we've talked about the transition quite a few times. But it's actually when we started the transition with cloud, it was more people like, no, cloud is not ready. That then at some point the transition flipped, and then the cloud went much more forward comparing to the on-prem, and now it's like the on-prem is way behind.
I mean, so for a long time, it made perfect sense. I mean, if you go back all the way to BPOS, I mean. Like you would then get a fraction of the things you had available on-prem, right? I mean, with the beginnings of O365, like kind of from the functional point of view, it was very comparable, but then you couldn't extend it to your needs because like you had only available sandbox, right?
Which so
it wasn't compatible.
From
your perspective, yes, but for the customers,
coming back on Frank's back kind of a background, sorry Frank for raising this possible nightmares back to your mind. The SharePoint 2010 with the user profile sync, we used that FIM thingy, which wasn't really a FIM, which was actually a forked version of FIM. before the film was actually even released, but because Checkpoint 2010 was released in a certain time frame, we needed to release a forked version of that together with Checkpoint 2010, and then people needed to figure out how it actually works. It's like all of that is gone. You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
Wasn't that exactly the case with, I think that was, maybe it was even Shepard Does Dance Still, right? That after it was released, people complained that why guys didn't ship it based on .NET 4? And it was like, we started building it 3 years back, and we cannot just, flip .NET version, because like it takes a while to build it, to branch it, test it, lock it, ship it, package it, burn DVDs back then, I believe.
Yeah.
the big MSDN stacks. Right, and you cannot just flip that overnight, right? So that takes time, and you cannot wait like until the last minute. Let's take dependency on something that will just ship in a day. Like no.
Yeah, but I think that ask will always be there. It's like Frank is keep on asking about the latest version of React version. Why when will you support X and Y and Z on React version? Which was shipped last week or whatever.
On Thursday.
So why isn't this latest version of React already supported in SharePoint Online? So, well, because it doesn't work like that.
But nowadays, it was fun.
Yeah.
Because I started also by I started in the SharePoint area, not by developing, but installing SharePoint forms. So I learned all the infrastructure around SharePoint and all the services, how they work, taxonomy, user profile, of course, and so on. So it was a good starter to learn how SharePoint works and give you a good leverage for development, I guess. Because you understand what you're doing.
Absolutely. So you're actually a person who flipped from being an IT pro and administrator to be a developer then?
Yeah.
I wasn't actually aware of that because I always thought you're a hardcore developer.
I have a software engineer degree, so my background is a developer, but I started as an IT pro, let's say. And I flipped
Does that mean that all of the code you wrote around 2010 is logging perfectly everything to ULS?
Yeah.
Of course.
But yeah, having that more broader background obviously has a massive value, because then you understand those people who are demanding better locking or better details and investigation and all of that stuff. So you understand more broadly why are they asking locking, or why shouldn't you just beat up the exceptions?
Yeah, I also did some like functional, let's say, consultants. When you consult about features, what to use when, doing configuration instead of development, something like this. So it gives you a whole knowledge of the platform, and then you can develop real useful things.
So obviously, this is highly subjective from your personal feeling. But what would be from your perspective, going through all of those three different roles? That's actually interesting and discussion point. What is the most difficult role, or what is the role where you need the most skills to be the most successful? Or what's your think about the differences between those three different roles? Because there are three different distinct roles.
Yeah, that is one, I think, is the functional one, because you have to teach and explain. It's a role of, you have to make compromises. You have to take the requirement for your customers and translate it to the capabilities of the platform. And sometimes can be difficult to explain this. This is not possible. This is possible, but you have to play with all the features. You have to have a good knowledge of the features, how they work. Sometimes it's difficult to know because the documentation is not really useful.
but that sounds very much like being dev in SharePoint, right? Like, I want to use the latest React. No. Platform doesn't support the latest, so you need to compromise.
Because customers, they come with not weird requirements, but you have to dig in the platform to actually see how it works and if it's possible. So the functional role is the main, it's a difficult one, I guess, because you have to know everything about the platform and you have to take the requirements and translate it to the technical part. So that is difficult.
Yep. Makes perfect sense. And nowadays, when you're running a, you have your own company and you, you consult the customers, what are the, what kind of gigs or what kind of things you actually do with customers? So how, what is the day-to-day work?
Basically, same thing. So I start for the requirements. What are your requirements? I try to create the backlog with my my customers because I work Agile mode and so on. So we define the backlog together and then we translate it inside the platform. So, okay, we're going to use Office 365. We're going to need Azure for that. We're going to need a development here, configuration here. And so I make the, let's say the end-to-end solution from the functional requirements to the final delivery with code on whatever it is, code or no code, whatever. But this is what I do day to day. Architecture, development, functional, everything. Yeah. Not IT, not the infrastructure, because in SharePoint Online, you do not really take care about infrastructure, except of Azure. Except Azure, you have to know what things you can do in Azure. But in the SharePoint field, yeah, it's less important, you know, because things are, it's like magic.
It just works. Of course,
it
just
works. User profile works. So it's okay.
Well, until you wanna sync picture across Exchange, SharePoint, and all the different things. It's like, yeah, it's
or
here, but it's not there.
Attributes or additional attributes profile.
For this, I will ask for help for this kind of stuff.
Cool. And then one thing what you've been working on the past quite heavily as well, we're going to talk about that one when we go to do articles, not pretty soon, but soon, is the search web part. So you started contributing on the community side quite early. Yeah. And why did you actually, just before we go to the search web part and that, why did you get along with the community? What was the, what was the initiative for, hey, I want to contribute back, or I want to do something with the community as well?
Actually, the thing is, I hate doing the same thing over and over again. So when I do development, when I develop something, I try to be the more generic as I can, because it's always the same thing. You know, I work a lot of in intranet projects. And it's always the same. So instead of doing the same thing over and over again, you know, this, this data displayed this way with this query, why not making this stuff generic? And because it's generic, it can be shared to the community, you know? So everything I do right now is, let's say, come from a real project scenarios, you know? So I did this because I had the requirement from a project. So I did something generic, and because it's generic, it's more, you can share it easily because there is no custom logic and so on. So that's why. And it all started with the PNP starter intranet. I mean, this is generic. This is always the same publishing intranet within SharePoint Online. This is the same everywhere. So why not share something generic and try to move on useful things, you know?
Customer specific things. But what's your perspective on let's say you're a one man company, why would you share back? Because isn't that your IP? And then what's the value for you to be part of the community rather than hiding your precious? What kind of
because your perspective on that? I love what I do, first thing. So I do it because I love to do it. And second, I took a lot from the community from you guys. I remember Waldeck when you wrote about cross-site publishing I was making intranet. Your article were very very useful for me. So
you're welcome.
You gave to us, so I give to the community. It's a 50-50 thing. So that's why
we all win, right?
Yeah, it's win-win situation. So why not?
Yeah. What was the movie? The Let the Good Thing go forward. What's the saying in English? Give it and let the positivity
pay
back. Pay forward or whatever. Yeah. So or whatever it is. There's a movie where there was the rolling line was something related on that. Maybe somebody will actually write that in the Twitter comments or something. I can't remember the movie, but it was
I have no idea what you're talking about. But
I'm actually disappointed, Waldeck. I think we are in a pretty good
level. What movie? What was the action? Like, you only just pick one, the payoff, but what was it about? Who are the actors?
let the positivity roll. It's the come on, who's the actor who got sacked pretty recently related on unfortunately?
The movie with the actor who was sacked. Very
yeah,
good.
That's actually
exactly what you're talking about. You know, the movie with the actor.
This is how the brain works in a weird way. Okay, so in Netflix there was this governmental show where four seasons there was the man was the primary actor. Then in the fifth season, the man was sacked, and the lady who was the wife got what was it? Oh, come on, seven movie seven
House of Cards seven.
Yes, House of Cards.
House of Cards. Same. And you're talking about. I know who you're talking about. Oh, geez,
I don't get it.
That's about. come on! He also played with the Unusual
Beauty.
Suspects. American Beauty, Usual Suspects.
Amazing! Just complete.
I am gonna IMDb it. Sorry, guys.
Okay. But the whole point coming back on the that one really successful on the fact that let the good thing roll. It's I think he's in one of that movie.
Kevin
really
Spacey.
Kevin Spacey. He's now nowadays sacked. Didn't behave. So, but I think that the whole letting the positivity to radiate and let the people. Other people to succeed as well. It makes you feel really good as well, right? So it actually gives back, and then people give feedback, and then we build together more beautiful stuff. Because I think that's the win-win of everything what we do.
Well, but
so.
I think the very best example of that is the provisioning engine that we offer as a part of PMP. I don't know how many companies across the world and people across the world build their own form of provisioning. Whether based on XML or JSON or YAML or whatnot, but
basically you save SharePoint with this. Honestly,
exactly.
I have to tell you, you save SharePoint because it was so difficult to provision things before. PMP provisioning engine. It's a nightmare.
I mean, over time, we've done it over and over again, and people didn't want to share because exactly that their IP and this and that. But it's not a unique problem. It's not something that, hey, only I can do that because only I have the expertise. No, it's just a matter of hours. Yeah, you put in the hours and you will get through it. And then PMP comes take hours. And then that becomes the de facto standard, basically making everything else irrelevant because that's not standard compliance. It's from one company moves to another. There is no knowledge. There is no documentation because it's only proprietary for this company as opposed to so at the end of the day, you win by being open.
Yeah.
So
and to be fair, I don't think it's about winning. It's about helping. But sure, it's one of those things where whenever we started our journey with the BMP provisioning engine, there was, let's say, competing ideas, but not all of them were fully open and transparent of what we were doing. And open source. So it was a slightly different perspectives and how people were sharing their code and learnings. But it's not about winning. It's about sharing. So I wouldn't say it's about winning in something. So as such. So, but at the same time, I think it's a win-win for everybody when we build together a one rather than multiple competing solutions. Absolutely. Yeah. So.
Exactly, because then they will become more powerful, more advanced. That will be more robust, better supported. There will be a broader audience. So it's a win for the customers because they can tap into a bigger pool of assets and skills. Okay. There is win for people because they can jump on the wagon and build their skills on that, and they can apply it to multiple things. And then they no longer need to waste their time trying to reinvent the wheel because they can just move with the customer specific thing, right? Yeah. So it makes perfect sense.
That's why I tell to my customer each time I use the PMP modern sense. That's what I tell. Just use the community stuff before reinventing the wheel. That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I still need to go back on the historical backlogs. I think it was MCM 2011 or 2012 where there is I wrote a slide which had a, hey, should we build together something like this in the MCM training, which is basically defining what it should be related on the remote provisioning and everything else. So pretty far we've gone from that stage in what, 6-7 years? So,
but you would say?
yeah, pretty okay. So, but it's I think it all comes down again on anybody can actually pull these things off as long as you have a decent idea and then you keep on sharing and reiterating and getting other people involved always helps. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's how you make open source successful, by making sure that you have multiple people helping, you're open for people to actually contribute back, and then you're openly telling where you're heading and where you are investing your time, because hey.
But that is also an interesting thing, right? Because like you can like based on already what you said, it goes well beyond just hacking the code, right?
Yeah, so it's never about
you
the
cannot
code
be
itself.
Just dev, you cannot just close yourself in a room. I mean, it's a little about the code, because if you build something that nobody else can understand and sure. whenever you touch it, it breaks, well then you make it impossible for others to help, right? But yeah, I think it's very important aspect that you also think about all the other things you mentioned, like scaling, inviting sure. others, making it possible for others to help you. So basically help others to help you.
Yeah, absolutely. Now let's actually go to the articles and talk about, Frank, your search web parts, because when we see them as well, and we can talk about that stuff, because that's really the your kind of the latest paper, so to say. Oh, no coughing, no coughing.
sorry.
We promised no coughing.
Sorry. I will be on mute.
Family show,
yeah. So let me share this one. So related on no coughing, with the default schedule, there would be a Redmond O365 SharePoint Saturday, not SharePoint Saturday, Redmond O365 Saturday, this Saturday, but it has been canceled and rescheduled. I think it was rescheduled until July or something like that. So you'll definitely see an updated state in the SPA events. Related on the world happening right now, I think it's a smart thing to do that they don't actually do this on this Saturday. So all good. On other areas, so SharePoint roadmap bitshop from Mark Cashman, so official blog post from the SharePoint marketing site, and this is actually really cool. So first of all, there's a really nice intro zone, 33 minutes, with Jax. Jax is actually in my team, so Jax is also part of the OneDrive SharePoint platform team, PMs, responsible of the let's say list extensibility and list experiences and Power Platform integration in over there. Good chat about that direction, but also there's a lot of stuff which has happened within a February. Like the mover is now available in worldwide. It was only available in US before that, or North America. So I think it included Canada as well. Apparently, I don't know. Helps anyway on moving files to Microsoft 365. There's the live events assistant program, Microsoft Live Events Assistant program. Details on that one. Global Reader Experience now available in New SharePoint Admin Center. I haven't read this one, so I don't actually know what it is all about. Do you know?
And actually, going back to the live events, with the virus taking its toll at the globe, like it might become a very useful thing and helpful thing
absolutely.
To have it available
absolutely.
Now.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, so we have technology to do all of the stuff remotely. So it's just a matter of also adapting this model
yes.
way of working. So to be honest, I haven't met Waldeck face-to-face for, I can't remember when, physically.
For a long time, yeah.
For a long, long time. It's actually been a really long time. It wasn't even easy as last year. It's been longer than that. So, but
no, exactly, no.
That's actually pretty horrible. Yeah, exactly. But it doesn't feel like that because we actually chat pretty much on a day-to-day basis on Teams with
exactly.
the video, by the way. Massive impact. So
always
having
video on.
Video on, always highly recommended. Global Reader Experience, we talked about this one, which I have no idea. Oh, it's a different role. This is actually
yes.
really yes. Yes.
So finally, and I mean, the purpose of that is imagine that you want to hire a third party company to perform assessment of your tenant or like have an admin access to basically to be able to see through everything. but just view it because they have no reason to change anything, just to assess stuff.
Yeah.
Or they have an application to report stuff. This is perfect.
Really cool. Really surprisingly, actually, a big thing from that perspective. Also, updating sharing based in SharePoint. Well, thank you, Brett.
Yes. So the only interesting thing is, I know from the past that there are certain things in SharePoint that even though you want to read, you have to have full permission. So I wonder how does SharePoint play ball with this account?
We would have to double check that. So
yes.
But you would have to test those, and then if something isn't working, hey, it's a functional bug, and then report that using the support channel. It's an out-of-the-box feature. It should work. So updating sharing page in SharePoint Admin Center, making it more visible for basically the different settings. That didn't zoom that well. The settings and what can be shared and who can be sharing. So what are the options and what are the things what we enable? So. Important things. Teamwork updates, updating classic SharePoint team site homepages to a modern template. Wait a minute, Jason, what does that actually mean? So what it means is that you, by default, you'll get a modern page when you create a classic SharePoint team site. And this is really important also to understand that the modern experiences and the classic experiences is completely independent on which template you actually use, because technically, you could actually use a modern template, a modern team site template, but fall back on a classic on that template as well. So what's now here is happening is that the even though you're selecting a classic team site, you will by default start getting a modern page, which is much more end user friendly.
So but actually the whole thing. Yeah, so actually the notion of a modern and classic site doesn't really apply as much, right? So Correct. You have a site and then on top you lay a modern what or kind of classic experience. Exactly.
All right. Exactly. Very so important. Really, really important thing. And obviously, it's pretty obvious that we are investing on the modern experiences. We want people to go to the modern experiences. The classic experiences is not where we want people to be. We want to help people to move away from there. And if there are certain specific gaps and all of that stuff, please let us know. We want to help you on this journey. And there's plenty of tooling available as well. So. Or if something isn't working for you, please let us know so we're able to help you. Personal sharing links can be now defaulted to people with existing access. So basically the settings, what are the default settings when you are sharing? Because people don't typically even change their settings, but they just get the link and whatever. So that's pretty awesome as well. SharePoint integration with power automation in GCC tenants. Basically governmental customers, which is always a big thing in the US, they have their own tenant set up, and now the Power Platform integration is getting there as well. So really important thing. Related technologies, something which we covered a few weeks back already in the PMP Weekly as well. The Microsoft Office app is available. I haven't actually grown to use this yet. Still, it's really hard to break your old habits because I've been using actively SharePoint app and all the other apps as well. I don't know how many else are using SharePoint app. Apparently, people keep on saying, what's that? But I do. We actually, one of the reasons why I actually use the SharePoint app, by the way, is that we do all of our announcements and news in SharePoint News. So the nicest way to follow up on SharePoint News is with SharePoint app. So
yes,
because then it tells you when there's something to jump in. Support for migrating OneNote via a known folder move. Okay, so that's pretty cool. So updating that in Office Humor. Last bit of Office Humor, thanks to recent Verge article reference in recent Democratic debate.
That's a PowerPoint. I'm more of a Microsoft Word guy. Political.
The American politics is something which, yeah, it works okay in here because people do
stay off it, stay off it, yeah. Stay off it next.
Yeah,
next.
Exactly. In news or in articles on invasive things, there are certain things which you want to stay out of. Politics, religion, what else? So that's pretty much it.
Race,
yeah,
gender.
Yeah, all of this, yeah, all of these discussions.
Hot topics.
Yeah. So, and some teasers for the 2020 dark mode, OneDrive mobile app for Android, getting dark mode, multilingual purposing is finally getting out. And we've been teasing this for a long time. I think it has been actually out for a targeted release for a while already, because I'm getting all the time questions related. Yeah. It's going to be GA.
finally, it comes.
Yeah. Well, because especially in Canada, right?
Yeah, in Quebec, like I live in Quebec, we have to make internet here multilingual. So this is we have to do this.
Well, so, same applies to Europe. In Europe, by law, I think in even in Netherlands. No, Netherlands has how many languages?
Only one. One official language.
Belgium has three. Finland has two. So,
Switzerland has three, I think.
Yeah,
as well.
Or four.
Belgium doesn't have three. Belgium has two, right?
Two. I think three.
Flemish and French, isn't it?
Dutch.
Well, Flemish.
Okay. Here we go. We're trying to avoid religion and all of the politics, and now we're just jumping into the middle of our debates in Europe. That's not a smart thing to do either. We should know better. Okay. Anyway, and this one actually could reference from Mark. So Mark has been around for quite a long time. I think actually I ran into Mark Cashman. Mark, if you're watching this or listening to this in the podcast, I think you remember this as well. It was actually in Amsterdam, by the way, back in 2010 Ignite, when we introduced first time PowerShell for the administrators. So there was Todd Klint. There was who's Todd Klint's?
Shane Young.
I was there talking about the dev stuff and all of that. So we had a Ignite when the Ignite wasn't Ignite in a tour. It was Ignite.
Was it the same when you introduced MCM or you talked about MCM?
It might have been, yeah. So this one was 2010 Ignite in Sheraton in Amsterdam. What is it called?
Shiphole. Not shit hole.
Well, people keep on calling that something.
Amsterdam Airport.
Yes. But yeah, so back in that, this is from 2010 environment, because you can actually recognize that from that. And that's, so this is something which Mark and Jax worked together as a demo for .com site. No, this is a corporate intranet. So really fancy corporate intranet, apparently. So with the obviously full custom masturbate and all of that stuff.
Yeah, probably.
Yes. Stuff, so. Good. Move on to other articles. So new season version, not going to spend too much time on this one. This is mainly a maintenance release from last Friday, but we want to keep on doing the monthly releases so people know that they're getting out. Mainly we do this for season because it also gets released as part of the SharePoint Online PowerShell, which is having monthly releases as well. So if there's any updates, we call them out. We do not explicitly right now anymore update the documentation. So a lot of this stuff, some of this is available, some of this is only for internal usage. And for now, we don't have details, unfortunately, available. That's because of resource constraints as well. Now, this one was really interesting on the Teams side of the house, announcing change notifications, Microsoft Teams messages. I was just having a chat before we started the recording. It would have been really nice to have a logical architecture which basically shows what's possible with this. But the whole point of this one is that you can actually subscribe to incoming messages. So then you will know when there's a message in a chat related on whatever topic. And that means then that you are able to respond back. For example, when two persons are having a discussion, your bot is basically checking up on the background, my time. And then the bot can come and interrupt and say, do you want help of X and Y and Z?
So, Clippy, right? Exactly. I see you talk about X. Do you want help? I'm like, no.
Go away. Go, no.
Yeah. But I see you talk about X. Do you want to help? No.
I think Clippy was way ahead of his time or her time, whatever Clippy was. But it was a brilliant idea. The idea was really good. So this was really around that one and showing some XML messages and then subscriptions and all of that. But basically, there's documentation available how to make things happen. Really cool. Now, some new announcements, something which is really close to Waldeck's heart. You want to talk about this one?
Well, yeah. So in CLI, we follow the cadence of monthly releases and yet another month release. And every time we try to balance things out, like what are the different improvements that we can get versus new commands and also commands across the board. So we have something for AD, something for Teams, Yammer, Graph. So basically trying to cover as much ground as we can, as opposed to really focus in one specific niche and go really, really deep, right? So over the course of years, like we've added a lot of commands across the board. And it's still, like every month, it feels like we're just
scratching the surface. Yeah,
exactly, because there's so much stuff in 365 and new stuff is being added every week, right? So it's really interesting follow-up game for us to stay on top of that. Plus, we also share new ideas, right? So, for example, what you see now on the screen, if you watch the video, is a new idea that we have for a command that will allow you to check whether your dev environment is suited to work with a specific version of SPFX. And the reason for that is that depending which version you want to use, you have to have different version of Node, different version of Gulp, of an NPM, and there's also the whole thing for like different versions of SPFX are available online versus on-prem. So we want to simplify checking whether your environment is up to par or not, because you might have cloned projects from GitHub, you might have it from a colleague of yours who works on something else at a customer, and it might you might be getting errors that aren't really errors in the code in the application itself, but just due to the not the right version of all resources that you need, right? So with this command, you will be able to run it, and within seconds, you will get an answer to, do you have everything you need in order to be able to work with it?
So Frank, ever had a problem with the versions? Ever had a problem with the versions?
No.
2010, right? 2010 user profiles.
Is it compatible with SAP 2010, no?
Yeah.
It will be, so we accept PRs.
Okay, great.
Now, one thing what we wanted to actually pinpoint also before we just talk about the search web parts and modern search experience, which Frank has been leading, is also the new effort, which started within SP usage docs together with Mark D. Anderson. And now we're actually expanding the SP usage docs to Microsoft 365 community docs. And this is really intended to grow to be the area and the documentation which we typically do not cover that well in Microsoft, which is the non-dev and non-admin docs, which is the conceptual documentation related on governance and consulting and business analyst style of documentation contributed by the community. So pretty soon, this will be also published in the docs.microsoft.com as its own notes, as its own documentation with the table of content and all of that. I'm not going to show it yet. We do have a previous available, but we're going to show it when it's available. But the whole point being on the fact that the non-devs and non-IT pros and administrator can actually contribute on the PMP by articles and examples and stories around what has been successful.
Well, and then maybe in the end, because like, why would you keep the, let's say, distinction between this and everything else and the official docs, if they end up on the same page, the same place, basically call them docs, and then basically, because like nowadays, everybody can also contribute additions and updates to the official docs, right?
Any
because
docs,
they're also
correct.
Open source. So does it really make sense? Like, to somebody who's looking for answers to the things that they have, I don't want to think, is it coming originally from community or Microsoft, and then like choose different methods. No, I have a question that I want to have an answer to. I'm going to search and I want to find an answer. And where it's originating from, I don't care, as long as it's reliable.
Yep, absolutely. Now I'm actually going to, even though I said I'm not going to show that, let me actually show it in a, it's only hidden in my own profile. So let me actually do that in here and track and drop that to that screen. So we are already testing this with the publishing process. So it's going to be in the docs.microsoft.com. And basically the basic structure is now intended to be relatively simple, making sure that people can easily contribute and all of the MVP-driven or community-contributed articles will be then there as an own document set for now. But precisely what Walter said, the long-term objective is actually make sure that every single piece of the RE documentation can be merged and contributed by anybody. And to be honest, already today it can be. The challenge what we've been having is that the how would I put it, more the admins, not the devs, kind of understand how this works because it's GitHub backed up system. Mm-hmm. But the non-devs have a problem of understanding how would I contribute, where would I contribute, is it okay to contribute, how would I do this? So we're having a first and separate location is there to encourage people to start contributing. And then sooner or later, we're going to merge things. But what we want to make sure is that we get things moving. And before we are, let's say, trying to figure out what is the final end goal even. So it's much more important to keep things moving and enable people to contribute. And then we'll move around the articles and table of content, but they still give credits for the people who are contributing.
So that might be actually a very interesting dev exercise to come up with a open source CMS that it's public to contribute, but not public to approve. So that, and lay that on top of a repo, so that people, non-technical people who want to contribute content, can do it easily without knowing the ins and out of making a fork, cloning a repo, submitting a PR. Like, no. Like, you just go to your thing, you change, submit your change.
That's true.
And then, people who manage the repo, they can go through PRs and reviews and so forth and so on. But give like an easy way in for non-technical audience.
Without being forced to understand GitHub forking, pull requests, submissions, and all of that stuff.
Cloning,
that's actually really interesting. If somebody might want to include that too. What was it? What was this thing called? Office 365 CLI? Could we add? No.
CLI is command line tool. Like, you don't want to introduce non-technical audience to a command line tool. It would need to be
fine,
browser.
Fine.
But the interesting thing is that there are CMSs on top of repos. Right, because there's this whole movement about the static site generators that are based very much on top of Git, right? Yep. And there are CMSs for that. The one thing that I'm not sure, though, is that they are more targeted at the public contributor role. I think they are more meant for admins of the actual site who log in and manage the pages, as opposed to let me contribute something without touching GitHub.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, good point. Good discussion point. The hurdle is still to understand how to submit an article, and we want people to actually submit by themselves with their own identity so that they will actually get credits, because the credits will be visible. And now I lost the article. Did I already close it? Well, that was smart. So, but because when you actually have a look on the individual article, we can actually then see who has contributed also in the docs.microsoft.com. So super important for people to get credits. Now, finally getting to the search. We've been talking way too much. So,
I know this.
waiting really impatiently. How much is it going to take? So there is this thing about search from this guy, Frank.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do tell.
Do you want to do a quick intro? What is this all about?
Basically, it's to make this simple, it's the replacement, the modern version of the content search web part, the old content search web part that we had in SharePoint on-premise. Basically, you have the ability to configure your search query. So behind the scene, it uses the SharePoint Search API. So this is the SharePoint Search, not the Microsoft Search, okay? Just to make the distinction between the two. And basically, you have the ability to customize your query, the query text, query templates, refinement filters, and so on. And the other cool thing is you have also the ability to customize the display using handlebars templates. So it's more targeted for not really end users, but like integrators or developers. So they will be able to make custom template for their customers. There are some default templates like cards, lists, detail lists, and so on, but you can create your own basically from scratch using handlebars. Yeah, this is the quick overview. I released this, almost 2 years ago or more. It's evolving, yes. So we had new features. We have monthly releases. So the February release is out, so you can check this out. We fixed some bugs. We added new features like the deep links for the refinement filters. So you can just write your filters in the URL, and this will be checked automatically within the page.
Yeah.
Maybe the documentation should be improved. But yeah, you have all the information that you need to get started. Let's take a look.
Yeah, and there's a lot of GIF recordings and all of that. These are highly helpful because then people can see what's available and what's possible. So definitely really useful. And now, pretty recently, we introduced the site collection level setting of defining a custom search landing page. So even though you would be using the top suit navigation search query, you will be redirected to a custom page, which you can then create by yourself using these web parts. Right now, currently, there is no out-of-the-box web parts which would be matching this. So
No, the highlight in Cottonwood Park, I think you change.
Well, you can do certain level. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But it is pretty limited comparing to this. Yeah. So
I heard that Frank accept PRs in case you guys want to.
Yeah, sure. And
to contribute at Microsoft.
Yeah. I'm not the only one contributing to the solutions. I had some PR from many people, actually, for quick fixes and so on. So yeah, I accept PR. No problem with this. If you have a cool feature to submit, feel free.
Cool.
And Mikael is also helping behind of the scenes, making sure that Frank is up to date on what's happening natively out of the box. Mikael, for those who do not know, is a principal program manager in the Microsoft Search PG, responsible also on the feature capabilities there. So, but really, really cool stuff. And it's certainly highly helpful. We pretty recently, I recorded a quick video also getting started on this one because we were missing that kind of a basic level of, hey, I want to get started and just concentrate on that one. And then there's multiple different options to configure these things.
So to make it clear, does this work only in SPO or does it also work on-prem?
It doesn't work on-prem. The reason is pretty simple. It's the technical reason. This solution relies heavily on the dynamic data feature of the SPFX.
Yeah.
And we don't have this feature on-premises because the version, I think it's 1.4.1, something like that.
For 2019.
For 2019, yeah.
Done 1.0 for 2016, yeah.
We don't have a simple way to do the same thing, you know. It will be very complex to do. So maybe Microsoft will upgrade the version. I don't know.
Nope. But, not gonna happen. Let's be clear on that one. So there's no way for us to update the SPFX supported SPFX version for SharePoint 2019 because it would actually impact the whole end-to-end scenarios and UX of SharePoint 2019.
And all DVDs you have to burn. And all the DVDs you have to burn then, reburn.
You have to reburn the DVDs, yes, indeed. Now, let's actually run through the other things. So this one was pretty cool, Frank, from you as well. Just recap assets which are available from open source tutorial for workspace provisioning. We covered this at some point as well, but it's really good for people to know that it's available. It's between you and Vincent, and it's basically an end-to-end solution for having a managed way of provisioning Office 365 groups.
Yeah, it's a pretty common scenario in companies to have a provisioning solution. So basically, these are the basic building blocks that you can use to implement this kind of solution. This is not the only valid solution, but this is an example that you can of what you can do to implement a provisioning solution. So it's a complete tutorial.
Go on, Frank.
I was just saying it's a complete tutorial. So step by step with screenshots and so on. So even if you don't really know Azure or something, it will learn you how to configure things.
Yeah.
Cool. And I think that there was also on the landing page, there was also a diagram that illustrates exactly the logical flow, like how the different things.
The architecture and what are the components and so on.
Yep.
Do you guys also include a key vault in there? Because I'm not seeing here on the picture. And that would be like the one thing that people will probably want to have to ensure that credentials are not stored anywhere in plain text.
We accept PR, so...
Excellent.
Yeah. No, apparently, if you have a high-end demand and high-end requests for storing something in a key vault, you might run into pretty significant throttling scenarios because we've been suffering on that. If you're storing stuff on runtime in the key vault, so the answer, at least at some point, was that, it's not actually intended for that kind of usage. So wherever you're using that, make sure that you're not running into those things as well. But again, key vault would be a nice way of storing securely information. So absolutely.
Well, I mean, there are even ways around it, right? Because if you work with a queue, then you could try to come up with things like how we can securely combine it. And sure, I mean, it's different when you need to fire up like million requests. And but there are ways around it.
Absolutely. Now, some other stuff, few articles. Laura had a new article read on SPFx solutions when a user can speak several languages. So basically walking through the different process, what does it actually mean, and how do we make things happen, and then how do we do translations, or what if we want to present multiple different languages of the same article, or multiple languages or multiple articles with cross languages for an end user, which makes perfect sense as well. And this one is from Ilya, related on utilizing Playwright together with Jest to cross-browser end-to-end test of your solutions. So you can pretty much, if you follow up on Ilya, we're just chatting about this one before the started recording, you can pretty much figure out what Ilya is doing right now in his work, because he plugs quite often about the stuff he learns in work, which is quite nice.
Automate testing, repeat testing. How do I know my stuff still works after every day developers did changes to the code? Yeah.
And if those who don't know Ilya, Ilya is the, I think he's the head of product in the Valo intranet.
No, so he leads the engineering department.
Oh, engineering in the Valo intranet. Yes, that's true. That's actually a good point, because Sebastian Levert is the head of product. And
there you
that
go.
That is true. Good point. But yeah, so that's where Ilya is coming from. Really good article related on that setup if you need.
And that might be also an interesting thing to have in the search web part, so that whenever there's a PR to validate, are they still correct? Right? Because it is a product.
Yeah.
It is a product.
Yeah. This is on the roadmap, but it's a huge work to. We need this, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that might be an interesting thing to see if Elio could submit PR with the base setup framework, and then everybody else could then submit additional tests to basically extend the coverage.
Yeah.
So, Ilya, we're expecting you to do that. Now,
you have a homework to do. You have an assignment. So we have created a task for you in Planner.
That's how it works. Yeah. Okay. So Sergey had a SharePoint framework tips and tricks about CSS style leaking from third-party libraries. Quite the important thing, actually. So this is one of those things where why SharePoint framework is slightly different. How would I put it? If you build a single page applications in Azure, hosted in Azure or whatever, it's a completely different ballgame than you're building actually individual web parts or web widgets, which can be loaded or unloaded on a page. So you need to basically isolate yourself from the global styles leaking in, and you not exposing global styles as well. And if you think about the journey, I don't know if whoever is listening or watching this, we used to have some problems with Office UI Fabric React, because there was a global styles, and then we changed not to be global styles anymore, which is a good thing to do. But those are quite problematic things on the page. So because then they can leak in on your experience. And basically, Sergey is explaining how to avoid those things. Really important thing. Bartman, actually also from Valo Intranet. It's good to say that Valo lets their people to blog about their learnings and everything. So it's super, super valuable. Microsoft Bot Framework V4 send proactive messages to teams, channels, and users. So basically, Skynet, I'm alive. I don't know if that's a good joke or not, but but anyway, sending messages on the chats, and then combining this with this, change notifications, you can actually have a nice way of bots coming in and sending things, and then having discussions on chats and channels. So maybe your bots can have a discussion by them between each other in the channel. So
Reminds me of the joke where somebody would put in a room like the devices like Alexa and they would just like talk to each other. I think there was even a wasn't there a commercial
there was a video,
during
yeah.
the during the
Super Bowl.
Like, what? And they would just like go on like that in circles.
Good old WhatsApp video. Now, how to grant programmatically admin consent to an API? How grant admin consent to the API programmatically from Sahil? Sahil used to be an MVP, nowadays working actually in Microsoft as well. We've been recruiting a lot of MVPs in Microsoft within the recent years again. But basically explaining how to make that happen or doing the admin consent programmatically as well. Quite important if you're doing operations in Azure or your solution in Azure, which would be the default case in the SharePoint Online case as well. And then Bob German actually opened up his own video channel. So pretty cool stuff. Bob is actually a partner architect in Microsoft and doing a lot of promotion on the Microsoft Teams development. And there's multiple really, really great videos related on Teams development and different videos. And Bob is a really great presenter as well. So really, really cool stuff available. And I think all of these videos are actually on his own channel as well. So he has an own channel, which you can subscribe. So please go and check things out. The numbers are pretty small now, but I think this will get better and better. Or maybe we should...
After this episode,
they will be...
skyrocket.
Yes, exactly.
It will go through the roof.
Yes. That's the immediate impact of these things.
Yes.
Yes. Now... cool. I think that's it for the articles right now. So let's actually do a quick round table, still closing the sharing and round table on the room. What are you planning to do this week, Frank?
This week,
stuff on search, customer stuff.
Fix some issues. I have some PR to review and then work on the features, new features for the March release. That's it for me for this week. It will be
enough.
The release cycle is a 1 month, but when is the monthly release?
At the end of the month. Yeah.
Okay.
At the end of the month. So the March.
And in case somebody wanted to help, do you have a wish list of the things you want to implement, tag with?
Help
request that?
Yeah, the new feature, the project tab in GitHub. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah.
I started to write feature that should be implemented, so you can pick up one in this list. I will try to add some details, more details on what should be
implemented. Basically.
Specs, yeah. Acceptance criteria, basically, yeah. So, this is the roadmap for now, because I can't share a common backlog, in DevOps and so on. It could be complicated, so it's not on GitHub right now.
Yeah.
I think the GitHub is really good for that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, what about you, Waldek? Anything special this week?
Always. All right. So one, on the community side, in the coming week, we will introduce the command for CLI that checks your SPFX environment.
Yep.
We already have PR open for that, but because last weekend we had a release 2.7, now it will be the preview of 2.8, and we didn't want to introduce anything new for the last days because there are always things you want to adjust, and we would really hate to have to do a patch release because we rush stuff. We know we ship every week, so we said, you know what, we're going to wait it out, and now we're going to introduce it, and then we will have basically the whole month to reiterate to basically get the basic things out before we ship it officially. So there will be probably one. I think we also have a few PRs open that we will be going through. Then on the other hand, at Rancor, tomorrow on Wednesday, I will be doing a webinar around SPFX and the code analysis part. So what do you need to analyze your SPFX code because it doesn't work on server, so it cannot bring out the farm. So is there still a need? And so forth and so on. So I will talk about that. And then also for the work-related stuff, I've been spending some time working with the audit log in 365. And it's such a bad experience. Really, it's so
thank you
so
for the feedback.
Horrible, right? So, if you need to query it, there is a portal to which you can go and you just get the data like that. There is also the PowerShell commands commandlets for Exchange Online. Again, you just ask commandlets for whatever you need, and it gets that. If you want to do exactly the same through an API, you cannot. That info is not so the one way to do it is, well, there are some things exposed in Graph, but they are not quite the same. Yeah. Then there is the Office 365 Management Activity API that requires you to spin up subscription, and then things are stored for a week, and they're why just open it up? The data is there. If I can do it in a portal, why cannot I just tap into the same API? Because the portal is a single page app. Expose these APIs. And I understand it requires support if you open it up, SLAs and so forth and so on, but seriously?
Any other things on your heart? So just
yes, the weather. I want it to be warm and stop raining.
It's not yet that time of the year. For me. So there's this. We're working now actively on the store story for SPFX. So that is actually now nicely progressing. So obviously, unofficially, our timelines are the upcoming conferences or conference timelines and whatever.
The virtual ones or the ones in person?
No, they're not the virtual ones. They're in-person ones. So, but we'll see if we can actually, obviously, we don't want to promise a date and then not deliver on the date. But
Thursday.
People can pretty much, it's not Thursday. People can pretty much expect that this is going to happen quite soon. So we can kind of get ready from the mindset perspective of, hey, okay, cool. I can actually have SharePoint Framework solutions available in AppSource without any let's say share cuts from Microsoft, and you need to implement whatever licensing model you have, but again we'll give you the opportunity of doing these things. Obviously we'll work on the blueprint on the solution side, which is pretty cool as well. So we just had a few meetings related on the policy model of that one and what do we approve and what do we review and all of that. And then I work with Eric Overfield on the SharePoint Starter Kit, SharePoint Starter Kit V2. It's basically pending right now for me to do a design, which will then use as a V1 of the StarterKit V2, V1, whatever. Super clear. But we need to come up with a proper design for the StarterKit and the new StarterKit version. We have the web parts already updated to the latest SharePoint Framework version, and then we basically want to build that now as a new template structure.
But with that, you mean actually the UI, not design from the technical point of view, like which APIs and which web parts, but the UI.
What we're doing is that the SharePoint Starter Kit is now split. So individual web parts and extensions can be taken into use individually, which is a pretty big thing because people were asking that, hey, I want to have my emails visible on the portal, which is mind-blowing, but people want to have that. And then or my next calendar of things, which is understandable. And then we... and then we'll have two different templates, one for SharePoint Online and one for SharePoint 2019. So there will be SharePoint 2019 support for those web parts, including those web parts which work there. So it's kind of a split now targeted there, but it's now waiting for me to lock down the design. So the UI, UX experience on them. So we'll hopefully by the end of this week. So we'll see. Promises, and let's see when it happens.
And any news on SPFX 1.11?
No news on 1.11 at this point. I think we are looking, obviously the virtual and the MVP summit is now happening in 2 weeks. We're probably going to review some of the ideas. Now it's virtual summit, doesn't really matter. We're going to review some ideas with our MVPs and then lock down the following version. So we haven't actually locked down what's in 1.11. There's a lot of ideas, a lot of things, a lot of the SharePoint framework now that is getting extended on other areas as well, that all of that work requires a lot of attention as well, but a lot of stuff, a lot of moving parts, so to say.
Cool.
Anyway, I think
exciting
that's
times.
It for now. Exciting time. So let's, and that's more than enough. We talked about roughly an hour, so we talked about really long time this time, but that's fine. Thank you, Frank.
Thank you.
Really great work on the search web parts and on the old contributions as well. And for those who are listening or watching, please check them out. And if you're interested in contributing, get there and contribute. Let us know. And if something is missing, if you cannot contribute because X and Y and Z, let us know. We're more than happy to help on making those things happen as well. But I think that's it. We'll be back within a week. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, guys. Bye.